In meeting here in this Bible school, it is naturally for the purpose as has been outlined, for the strengthening of each other in the beliefs and hopes and convictions, as Brother Glenn mentioned in his prayer, to the coming of the Son of Man. And it is to train up the children in the way that they might go, that when they're old, they may not depart from it. So in this consideration, it's always well that we turn to the Word of Truth. And surely with meeting here together, we ought to use every opportunity this week to strengthen each other's faith. So we might turn in this connection to the 27th Psalm. If you would like to, we would like to call your attention there to the words of David, because it would seem that we would hope that each and every one here, that this beginning of the first verse would be our desire. The Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O Lord of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. That's what we hope to do here, is to make these truths so plain during this coming week. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So might this be the attitude by which we could carry out this next few days that we are together here, that we might speak to each other these plain truths in a plain path, or in a way of plainness, during the next few days that we are here at this Bible school. And I'm sure that that's the wish of each and every one of us. At this time is the time for us to have the class assemblies or get-togethers at get-together at this time, and it's the usual has been the custom of that the young folks go out first, but we are going to, I believe it's been requested, we leave everybody in here so they will hear the resume of the adult teachers of their classes. So it's a, I believe it's a custom that we will take up the classes as to the adult teachers will give a resume of what they are going to set forth before the group in order that the teachers will be here, and then they will go out. So in the first class period is Brother Ken McPhee. So might we ask him to come forward and give us a resume of what he is going to bring to us during the week.
The subject will be the paradox of Jesus Christ. And first of all, we have to consider what paradox means, especially in the sense we're using it. And we'll use it as meaning that which is seemingly contradictory within itself or at variance with what would be normally expected. Although when it is properly understood, it becomes harmonious and consistent. And we'll be talking about things that are very familiar to all of us here, about the things we're told about Jesus, but trying to look at them in a slightly different way, perhaps, or adding some detail, and recognizing that there are great contrasts within Jesus himself and within his life. The contrast of his parentage, where his mother was a humble maiden of Galilee, his father, the almighty creator and sustainer. The circumstances of his birth were extremely humble in a stable, and yet he is to be the king of the world, king of all the earth. His baptism by John, some unusual features. We know that in Jesus we see God manifest, and yet at the same time he was of the same nature as his brethren in every respect, and concerning which we have abundant testimony. We'll be looking at these things. By his work he became our abiding place, and yet he had not where to lay his head during his ministry. These are some of the contrasts and the paradoxes which we find in the life of Christ. And at first glance, and on a somewhat cursory level, they may seem a little confusing, but when put in their proper perspective and properly understood, the whole picture becomes harmoniously woven together and consistent with the plan and purpose of God.
Thank you, Brother Ken, for this resume that you've given us of your class. And then the second steward will be Brother Jim Stanton. Would you come forward and give us an outline of your class?
The subject that we will treat with this week is the multitudinous Christ. And our first portion of the study will be dedicated to the exploration of the fundamentals of the gospel as they relate to this subject. The multitudinous Christ, in a very basic sense, is salvation. And we would like to lay this groundwork before moving into the other more speculative areas of the subject. We intend to treat of the development of the spirit nature, which we as prospective attainers to this multitudinous group hope to attain. We want to review the apocalyptic development of this man, or unity, as it is treated in the apocalypse. Of course, it's treated throughout the scriptures and the other prophets as well. And we want to move on to the realities of the Sinaitic Assembly for judgment and the development and processing of this body. And then we want to move into the rainbowed angel phase and the 10th of Revelation and measure that as we can. We want to try to tie in the place of current events of today, the day in which we live, and the position of the nations, particularly Israel and those surrounding her in the Middle East. And we want to try to place in its proper routine the Gogian invasion and the consequences that will be forthcoming from that invasion, which will ultimately result in the triumph of the multitudinous body. We would like to work in, with your approval, the place of natural Israel in this development, just what part they play and how they will finally be fitted into the massive jigsaw puzzle, as it were. And in the normal course of development of this subject, we'll finally come to the destruction of the apostasy or Babylon. We would like to leave those that attend the class with some idea of a, we've used the term speculative, which I think is a fair assessment of it, of a, say, let's say a speculative recapitulation of events, maybe some sequence of order, and things we might look for over the course of the next few years. Just the degree of specificity on that is, I hope it may be singular, that is, each person might leave with a different idea, but we think it'll be interesting and uplifting and worthwhile. We have a lesson sheet prepared that we hope will be of some use in following the outline, but we would recommend for your own benefit taking notes or developing your own lesson sheet, as it were. We'll try to allow proper time for interruption for questions during the class, and, but preferably at the end, and then maybe in the afternoon session we can pursue some other questions along these lines. For the young people, I know there are several here at the age of either they have to choose going into the so-called young people's class or going into this class. If there are those of this middle age group where they might not know which class to go into, we do hope to present this from a fundamental viewpoint at first. And if they care to attend this class, of course, we'd be glad to have them. Some of it, the latter part, may be more advanced than they care to tackle, but we hope to make it as interesting as we can, both from their viewpoint and of those with a number of years in the truth.
Thank you, Brother Jim, for your outline. And then the third class period will be Brother Ken Smith, so I'll ask him to come forward and give a resume.
Well, my classes will be on the subject of the aspects of the Spirit, which is a very general subject, and of course this book is entirely the result of the inspiration of the Spirit, so one could take it from almost any part or any portion of it and still be on the subject. But in order to try to get an organized thought, we have taken it from the divisions of the Spirit as they are presented in Psalms, where it's the only place it's mentioned, where it's described as a free spirit, a right spirit, and a Holy Spirit. And we have tried to show the various developments of those on different levels, particularly from the idea that God has revealed himself through the Spirit on different levels, primarily on two levels, the terrestrial creation and the celestial, which is being developed. So we will begin with Genesis, not from the idea of an archaeological study or what actually happened to Genesis or anything like that, but trying to show the fact that God is beginning his revelation to man on that level through the creation of the world and man upon it and so on, and that that level continues then on into particularly with the children of Israel and the law of Moses and how he has revealed himself on that level, and then moving onward through the course of the week, we hope to get into the higher manifestations of the Spirit in Jesus Christ and the development of the celestial creation. And finally, in the last lesson, to treat the idea of the right Spirit as the Spirit that is developed in us by these means, so that we will conclude with the thing that I hope we are mostly interested in, that is the development in ourselves of the Spirit of Christ as it is described in the Scriptures, and that the work of the Spirit will find fruit in us by our efforts.
Thank you, Brother Smith, for your outline, and we know that these brethren have worked hard in getting their classes or material in line and organized and ready to present to us. And what is obtained from those classes is going to be what we put into it when we go into the class. So may each and every one of us that attend them strive to take away with us some thoughts that give us the strength and encouragement to press on to that mark of the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus.